Welcome to the Four Eyes podcast, brought to you by Young OD Connect. We give you a clear view into the new grad optometry world across Canada and the US. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Deepan Kaur.
And I'm Dr. Amrit Bilku. And today we have Dr. Dan Frederick, who is an optometrist practicing at Vision Care Consultants in St. Louis, Missouri. And on today's episode, Dan's going to be sharing some really helpful tidbits on how to boost your practice sales using private distributor products and building your Google reviews portfolio. Most of this information is more applicable to current private practice owners, but to be honest, a lot of this information is really helpful for independent or associate ODs as well, if you're looking to build your own reputation through Google reviews, or if you're looking to add any specialty services to the practice that you work at. So we're really excited to get into this episode. And so without further ado, let's get into the interview.
So for our listeners who do not know who you are, can you tell us more about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Dan Frederick, and I practice in St. Louis, Missouri at a practice that we specialize in contact lenses and dry eye. We've been here a while. It's a successful practice, and we have lots of patients, and we have four doctors, and it's great. And then I also founded a company called Iganix, and we make the world's only 100% natural, chemical-free, certified organic dry eye drops as well. So that's a little bit about me.
That's pretty cool too. I mean, actually you kind of left out a bit of your other like interesting journey, which obviously we looked up, but the Iganix was something that was super interesting. I know we're not discussing really in depth about Iganix today, but for our listeners, we'll definitely have that information in the episode description so that you guys can all look at it and learn more about the drops and get in contact with Dr. Frederick about it. But what kind of led you to even creating that, just as a side question? And do you promote it in your own practice then, like for your own patients?
Oh, of course. Yeah, thank you. And thanks for getting into it a little deeper. Yeah, so it started 8 years ago where my little son was, maybe he's eight now, but he was 6 months old and he was laying there on his little table and his eyes looked irritated. And I went to the cabinet to see what we had on hand that I could put in his eyes. And it was like realizing like, no, there was no drops that were like totally truly clean as I saw fit. That's when I decided like, okay, like this is something that, you know, I can do, we can do this. Let's get to work. And then it was a really long journey from there. It's, mm-hmm. you know, not easy to do this, to make an eye drop. And it took 7 years and there was lots of ups and downs and
wow,
some, you know, failures along the way and some false launches and false starts along the way, but you know, I kept at it and found a great manufacturing partner and got it going. And we just launched in April of 2022. So it's been
congrats.
Year anniversary. So yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. And it's been great.
I was gonna say, I can imagine the journey probably had a lot of tears too.
Oh my God, dude.
Us Canadians get our hands on it or not yet?
I'm working on that. Yeah. So I've done some samples up to Canada, but I have started the Health Canada application process to officially make it, you know, so you guys can have it.
We'll see you in another 7 years then.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's usually what happens with Health Canada. But Dan, like, let's actually transition into something that we wanted to talk about today, that Iganix is a private distributor, right? You're not a mass distribution company. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. So can you explain then what private label eye care products really are? And why is it important for you to consider, you know, carrying those products within a practice rather than mass distribution products?
Yeah, so a private label product is something that you're having made by typically one of the bigger manufacturers will be making it for you with a different label on it, and then it makes it so it's not available, you know, elsewhere. It's exclusive. And then an independent product, which is what like Iganix is just something that's made by a company that's typically smaller and just hasn't gotten to a point where they could be distributing to bigger channels. And it's not available, you know, it's something that you can't buy on Amazon, something that in our world, it would be, you know, frames, contact lenses, all sorts of in-office products. And so to kind of unpack that answer to that question, and basically, yes, like you said, it's products that aren't available en masse. You can't get them, you know, a patient can't pick up the frame and be like, oh, well, look, it's available here and it's half the cost. Or same with, you know, contact lenses, same thing. You know, it's something that can't be commoditized and it's just a race to the bottom. With the price, and then it's just you're playing that game, and that's not enjoyable. Now, as far as why should somebody do it, it's a long answer. And so, you know, the most basic first reason of why I or any, you know, private practice doctor or eye doctor should consider trying when they can, and oftentimes it's just not possible, right? But as much as you can. Would be because you don't want to play the commoditization game. You don't want to have something that's essentially seen as a commodity where it's just uncomfortable. I don't know if we've all been in these situations, but it's not fun to have somebody ask me why I'm charging this much for a six pack of contact lenses. And then they can show me on their phone. I'm like, literally, that's less than I can buy it for. You can buy it for less than I can buy it for. And so it's just, it's not enjoyable. And then it just makes it practicing can be a challenge, which, you know, and then the other reason to consider carrying these kinds of things is because there can be an exclusivity to it, you know, especially with a lot of the frames available these days, but also contact lenses. You can, you know, make your practice have, you know, higher quality, higher end, almost like luxury goods, like a boutique kind of a setup. And in turn, everybody wins because, you know, the patient's getting something that's exclusive. Hey, you can't get these anywhere else. I can only get these from my doctor. Iganix is a great example of that, but there's tons of other products. And you could even tie this into the in-office cash procedures that ODs are doing now, like IPL and things. Like, everybody wins. Like, hey, you're getting better care. It's a higher quality of care. It's a, you know, better value for you. You know, you pay more, but it's worth it. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't go get it at the store. Scleral lenses, orthokeratology, it all kind of falls into this bucket of having, you know, a little bit more prestige and exclusivity to the kind of, you know, practice that you're doing. And then finally, number three, so if you're not commoditizing the products you have, if you're finding soft contact lenses, even six packs that can't be shopped online, and same with frames and lenses, and then you're all of a sudden, you know, you're doing all these things that are making you a little bit more of a luxurious practice and a higher end practice. Well, then you get to charge more. Okay. And then when you charge more, you make more profit. And if you can make, you know, I think everybody can agree, making more profit, not only then can you pay yourself more as a doctor, but then you can pay your staff more and you can invest in more new equipment. And so all of a sudden now the patient's included in this equation, because now, because you're able to charge more and have more profit, you can provide better patient care because you can pay your staff more. So you can get, you know, everything goes up. Everything goes up and you can get better equipment. So you can do even better care. And it's like this upward spiral. But it starts by kind of trying to say no to these very easily accessible products.
Your entire answer reflects, I think, the way that Deepon and I are learning to appreciate, you know, a different way to practice optometry. Like, there's so many points that I want to touch on your answer, but I'll keep it short because I can talk for a long time. But I agree, like, this whole race to the bottom is kind of a hot topic right now, I think, in the world of optometry, more so maybe in Canada. I'm not sure as much about in the US, but there is that question as maybe a new private practice owner, or if you're thinking about bringing new things into your practice, on one side, it could be an easier route to carry products that are very well known, very common household, you know, brand names that people recognize, because then you don't have to put in a lot of work to sell that product, right? The image and the brand is already so well known that patients will come in and they'll want it. But then the hard part is it's so available everywhere that now you have to play the bargaining game, right? Versus if you get a more private label product or frame line, you know, yes, the exclusivity is there, but I've talked to ODs too, who sometimes may feel, yeah, but then you also have to put in a lot more effort for the marketing. Like, how are you going to convince someone who is coming into your store expecting, you know, a big, you know, company name frame line, but then you're selling like independent eyewear? You know, how are you going to get them to appeal to that, you know, new frame line that they've never heard of? You have to kind of, you know, roll up your sleeves and put in the marketing work to really get your patients hooked onto these things. And sometimes that can scare doctors, and they don't want to put in the marketing effort. So they want to kind of rely on those easier brands to like get those patients in. But what you said at the end is so important to remember. Like, the more effort you put into getting those private label brands and independent brands and unique ones in the beginning, once your patients are hooked, they're going to keep coming back because they'll know that those products are more superior, right? And then, and yes, the more money you make, the lower volume of patients you even need to see in a day, right? You can spend 40 minutes doing an eye exam or an hour doing an eye exam with your patients. You can actually ask, how are the grandkids? Or how's your, you know, school program going? You can have like that connection with them in the exam room without rushing every 15 minutes, trying to stack up your patient load. Deepon and I talk about this stuff all day. So this is like the perfect time for you to come in and explain that to our listeners without us ranting about it.
That's beautifully said. I mean, the two points to reiterate of what you just said is, I mean, it's you're getting into a nice detail about elevating that level of patient care and how it is. And the other huge point is that you are absolutely in control. You do get to pick. You get to pick out how you're going to practice. You can go, you can see 8 people an hour. You can see 2 people an hour. You get to set it up. Well said.
Yeah.
So Dan, what are some specific examples of private label contact lenses and frames? And what specific information should we be seeking in order to determine which of these products fit best with our clinic if we want to carry them?
Obviously with products, we talked about Iganix. That's a great example of just, you know, small startup, kind of a company that's not available in mass. Contact lenses, Iris, I don't know if they're in Canada yet, but that's a great, their whole model is to not be available anywhere but at the private practitioner. That's a daily disposable contact lens. You know, one of the best places to look if you're starting to look would be these labs that make hard lenses. So the big hard lens labs oftentimes will have these soft lenses available, whether it's a daily or a monthly, they'll have them. And they certainly aren't looking to put these through the mass channels. And so that's a good place to kind of check. And then I feel like with frames, it's a little bit easier. There's just way more frame startups that, you know, aren't wanting to, you know, have their frames available through mass channels whatsoever. They want to serve, you know, they want to be exclusive. They want to be boutique. That's, you know, in luxury and high end. I mean, there's plenty of those to choose from. It seems we have so many, I don't want to like say one and make anybody mad. So that's easy. Frames are easier to do. How would it fit best with your clinic? That's a good question. I guess you have to look at what you have right now, but then also what you want to do. So maybe it's not a fit right now with the patients you have, but it's more of this vision you have of how you want things to be is the product you do choose. And so sometimes you kind of have to take that leap of faith a little bit when you bring on a line or bring on a new treatment, I think is another big one that ODs are more and more doing now, these really big investments in in-office treatments. It all kind of falls into the same thing. Hey, it may not be the way you're doing it right now. So maybe right now it's not a fit, but you can see how you want things to be. And that's why you maybe choose a certain brand over, because it's going to help you fulfill this vision of how you know you want things to be.
Yeah. And you're right. I think frames are very easy to know, like which ones are more independent labels and private labels versus like the bigger box companies. And same with dry eye products, I feel. There's so many awesome dry eye companies that, you know, provide eye drops, ointments, gels, lid cleansers, and things like that, that are not available online. And their reps do a great job. Even, you know, if you identify that some of these drops are selling on eBay or Amazon, like if you bring that attention to the company, they'll address it, you know, they'll make sure that they maintain the reputation of their brand so that eye doctors can sell them and have that exclusivity. Now, do you have marketing tips on, you know, how to market, you know, private label products in our clinics if we want to bring them on in? What kind of extra step do you take to convince your patients to follow these brands instead of the more typical home brands that they recognize?
Yeah, education is huge. So if you have channels you're already utilizing to communicate with your patients, whether it's an e-newsletter or a physical newsletter or regular emails, social media posts, that would be one place to start. And then, you know, write some great, truthful copy about why, you know, hey, this is something we have that's new. This is why we love it. This is what makes it great. This is what they're trying to do differently from existing companies. This is what makes it better. And so really just expounding on the points of, you know, what makes it better. And then also it comes back to the very beginning, you know, believe in it yourself, you know, and that's the thing about if you actually like it and believe in it, then you're going to be able to communicate that effectively to patients. And they're going to feel it. They're going to know like, oh, but you know, this is because they already like you. They're there to see you. And so they're going to, you know, trust that something that you know, have trusted and believe in is going to be a superior product. And then especially you can, you know, go over the different features of it, what makes it better. The way, you know, I know when we have something new, we'll put it out in our newsletter and maybe an email or two, and then talking about it in the room and in person is really where it, you know, I think people kind of get excited about it. And then when you know, can show it to them and talk about it in the room, it's like, oh yeah, this is great. It's from Japan. It's, you know, small batch, it's special made, whatever, you know, whatever it might be that makes it unique. And so that'd be my marketing tip, is like, fall in love with it yourself first and make sure you've got something that you really like. And then when it'll just kind of naturally, I think, flow with whatever other communications that you're going to educate your patients with.
Also, last question about that, because I've heard other ODs have different opinions about this. What's your take on giving away maybe free samples or free giveaways or, you know, try the first time, pay the second time kind of a thing? What's your take on that for different, I guess, products that you'd have?
Yeah, that's tough. I go out of my way not to do that because I feel like it kind of cheapens that brand and kind of says like, it sort of communicates how valuable can this possibly be if they're willing to give it away for free. So, you know, Iganix, we definitely don't do free samples. You know, we try to make a point of that. It's not that kind of a product. You know, that's why, you know, the free stuff is the stuff that the pharmacy technician could have recommended for you, right? That's the stuff in the drugstore. This is special. This is something you can only get from your doctor. It's different. Now, with that said, you know, sales and promos and free stuff, they work. That's why everybody does them. And so I think there's certain ways you can do it that are tasteful. I think you can bundle. I think, 90-day supplies, 6-month supplies, I think that's a cooler way to discount things, maybe to do a promo that's not quite as like, you know, buy one, get one, or like come free kind of a thing. Discounted second pairs, things like that, I feel like are a little more, you're keeping your, you know, you're respecting the brand and the luxury of whatever product it might be. Mm-hmm. while still at least being able to offer patients, you know, a price break.
Nice. So Dan, we are going to switch gears a little bit and now start talking about Google reviews. So we all know how important Google reviews are when we're looking for or looking into purchasing new services or products. So what is your specific strategy for building Google reviews for optometry practices?
Step one would be you got to really love your staff and truly care for your staff. So that's the first thing you have to do. You have to have staff meetings, full staff meetings every couple of weeks, and you got to care for these people truly in your heart and let them feel that and know that. And that's truly where it all starts, to get a bunch of good Google reviews. So don't worry, I'll get to the true secret of it all, how we have, you know, we're approaching 1,300 five-star reviews right now. So don't worry, I'll get to the sauce here at the end, but you got to have the basics.
Eat the base first, and then you got to build it.
You don't just, there's not, the trick doesn't work unless you have these first two steps. So
you're saying the staff members give you the first five-star Google reviews. You make them go online and say, best employer to work for, office, clean.
No, that is not where I'm going with this. Yeah. So yeah, you want your staff and you know, have your staff, you know, we're getting back to that vision and that mission, bring everybody in on that. That's not something you just do on your own. You want all hands on deck, you know, to help you write a mission statement and talk about what we want to do here and why it's important. And that's really where it starts. And just to help, and maybe I should even say before step one, you know, minus one is you got to know that yourself and remind yourself of that. You're lucky to get to do this. We get to help people. We get to serve people every day. And that's very fortunate. It's a privilege that we've earned. We've worked really hard to do it. And then we share that with our staff. You know, every day they get to make a difference in people's lives, and just sharing that with them and like reminding them of that often, of that mission, and letting them feel that and share that and sharing all those wins and feel that. That's where it starts, I think, to, you know, just kind of reminding everybody, hey, like, it sure beats being in a cubicle, right? And staring at a screen all day. Like, we get to heal humans. How awesome is that? So that's step one, is, you know, have a great, you know, let your staff know you love them, get them in on the mission, let them know why we're here and what we're here to do, which is to help people and improve their lives through their vision. And so step two, then it gets harder. You have to create.
We thought you were ready to talk about it.
I'm ready.
I feel like there's going to be like, this is like a 10-step program or something. Okay.
So step two is you have to show your patients all that care that you and your staff have for them. So you then have to, you know, and that's obviously that's running a full practice. So I'm not going to get into every little detail of all the ins and outs, but the basics of it are like you want to make it an experience. So from the time that patient walks in the door to the time they walk out, be detailed about exactly how you want it to go. Review that with your staff frequently, and then let those patients feel how much you care about them. There's a great saying, and I don't know who said it, but it's great. It's, you know, patients don't, you know, care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's kind of the basics of step two, is just really letting all that, you know, all those things go well. You want them to have their expectations met. You have to do good clinically. You have to solve, you have to actually be good at what you're doing, right? You have to have your staff be friendly. You have to, you know, have great service, great clinical care, make it an experience. And so finally, step three, the true secret, once you get those two things in place, asking. So it's about asking patients to give reviews. And really the best way to do that we've learned is to have an automatic system in place that is requesting for reviews from every single patient, every single encounter. The patient gets a very convenient text where they can then just click and it takes them right to Google so they can write that review. And so the true secret after years, you know, here's this little card. Here's this, please leave it. You know, we would do it all these different ways, but really the way that's worked the best is to have a system in place where the patient automatically is asked, you know, how was your experience today? And that's when it just started to explode, where we started getting tons of them. So
I think I've heard that too, where it's really the least amount of clicks to get to the review is when you're going to get the reviews from the patient. So yeah, if they get a text and they click one link and the review is already open, they've only had to click once.
Yep.
So more likely to do it rather than opening an email, scrolling down, clicking the star, then it opens a new web page. Like, it's a lot of steps that I think people will kind of brush off.
Do you think it's important to ask for that on the same day as well? Because I know there's some systems that will ask the next day and they'll be like, oh, how was your experience at your eye exam? But it's a whole day after. Do you think that kind of affects it as well?
I do. Yeah. Research internally, yeah, has shown that the same day was much more effective. I think we have ours set to try to send out like within an hour.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So you've mentioned you've used various techniques and tried to, you know, try out each way to see what gets the most reviews. Do you have a preference in mind or thoughts on what program or system that includes like automated emails and text messages that you would recommend for patients to try?
Yeah, we use Weave.
Yeah, okay.
And that's been the one that has worked the best, but I think part of it's going to depend. And so I don't know other ones, what other ones can do it as good as they do. And there certainly was an ironing out to get it to work just the way that we want it. But that, and depending on which EHR you're on, I think that matters too. But yeah, I would get granular into the details of whatever you're looking into and then, you know, test it and be sure that it's going to do, be able to do it very conveniently, like just one click, like you said, that it does matter via a text. And Weave was the one that was able to meet that need for us.
Just a question for maybe people who don't have automated systems yet. They're just starting out their practice. They're just building up, or even for associate doctors, like we don't own our practices. But we still want to build some Google reviews, right? For patients to share their experience with us. Do you have recommendations for how to word that request if we want to verbally ask patients for a review?
Yeah, that's a great question. Before we had the automation, I found the most effective way was patients who are right then and there happy. They've given you a compliment of some kind to let you know, like, oh, thank you so much. Like, wow, this place, you know, they give you like, this is amazing, or someone who says that. That's a great place to kind of open the conversation and be like, I'm just starting out. Thank you so much. That's so nice. If you could, would you be willing to write that in a Google review? It would really help me out. It would really be something that would mean a lot to me. And you could really help me tremendously, because then, you know, everybody could see, you know, your experience here, and just say something along those lines and kind of break that barrier and just do the ask. Like, they've already paid you this big compliment. And that's kind of, I think, a good in to do it verbally. So
yeah, those are great tips.
And then what's your advice on handling negative Google reviews? I'm sure you don't ever get them, Dan.
I've had those. Yeah, that's
the first negative one was like, stop sending me those damn cards. I don't want to write a review.
Negative reviews are tough, especially if you're starting out and you don't have that many, man. Those can hurt. I've had situations where I'll call the patient and swallow my pride and just be like, look, and just ask them to, you know, what can we do to change your mind? And, you know, can you consider taking it down? If that's not possible, which oftentimes it's not, then you gotta write yourself a nice response. Which is another thing, respond to all of them.
Yeah.
I think you can craft out a really polite response that doesn't violate their HIPAA privacy rights. You can tell your whole side of the story without seeming like you're being too defensive and being like a baby about it. There's been a few where it's like, you know, you're wanting to just like unleash, like, don't do
it. Yeah.
You know, like, let the hounds out, but you want to stay professional, rise above.
You're talking to like the two most angry optometrists who have microphones and just vent publicly on this podcast about
I think like what you're saying is important, because I did read somewhere that a lot of people, when they're looking for a service, they'll look at the Google reviews, but mainly look at the negative reviews to see how it's handled and see what's the worst thing that can happen at this place.
Yes.
So I thought that was really important. Yeah, you got to respond to it, especially, you know, saying, I guess, your side or whatever happened. But responding is really important because it just doesn't leave them, you know, in the dust, basically.
Yeah. I was going to add to that too. I think even for myself personally, I will still go to a, you know, a business, a restaurant, anything, after reading the negative reviews, when the owner of that place has responded to each of them, because most of the time a business responding to the negative review in my mind shows that one, the person probably never existed and never went there, because that's what the response will say. Like, you know, oh, we don't have your name in our records, and, you know, you know, call, give us a call and let us rectify the situation, like confirm, you know, then you kind of know they maybe have some spam negative replies. But then also some of them will say, you know, we're so sorry for what you went through. Give us a call. Let us know what we can do to help. Let's talk it out. I mean, when you read those responses, yeah, you really get that human emotional side of the business. And so even then, you're kind of willing to forgive these other people for having negative experiences. You're just kind of like, oh, you did your best, you know, let me go in and give you some business. So I think responding is huge.
Yeah. I mean, our biggest responses, we'll talk about them. I mean, together and we'll talk about them, and we'll take a couple of weeks to let things simmer down and, you know, of course, try to reach out to the patient and go those avenues. And then when they don't work, that's when you're like, okay, let's
see. Time to part ways.
That's actually a tough one too. I don't know if you have any advice for this, but it's very common that, you know, especially optometry practices, they receive negative reviews where they strongly believe that it's another OD's practice, you know, down the street or, you know, within the same region, posting like consistent negative reviews on their business page. You know, do you have any advice to someone who may suspect that another office is maybe posting negative reviews for, you know, competition? Like, how would you approach the office? Would you say anything? Would you ask a question? Do you have any advice in that situation?
I've never heard of that. That's so sad to hear that that would happen.
I've heard that often, actually.
Yeah. And I don't doubt it. I just, I would say, I mean, I guess I would try, you know, these are huge companies, but I would report it to whatever platform it's on, just to, you know, and just be totally transparent, be like, look, I think this is a competitor that's posting these things. Can you please help me? That does not usually, getting in touch with a human within those platforms can be very challenging, but I would at least try that as a first. And then as far as, you know, the response, you kind of talked about it, like, hey, I don't have a record of you as a patient. You could even, you could maybe put that in the response. Like, we have reason to believe that you may even be,
I've actually seen those before. I'm not going to lie. I read those too, where people will say, like, we have another account with your name or picture that have given negative reviews before.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Please stop leaving. Like, they'll say that. Man, maybe this just happens in Toronto. We're savage people here.
Yeah, I have to agree with Dan. I don't think I've ever seen that in the, like, optometry.
I haven't seen it. I've spoken to ODs who.
Oh, suspect. I believe it can happen in Toronto.
Yeah.
You don't want to let someone who's that low take a whole lot of your energy away. Because, you know, you don't want to, that's just, you know, you can't control it, right? You don't want to put a lot of energy or time into something that's out of your control. Just like, you know what? Okay, you keep doing that. It's going to get buried when I got 1,000. And you still have your 30. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that would be my, like, if that, you'd be like, okay, yeah, let, you know, bring it. Like,
don't write that in the reply. Bring it.
I'm going to practice.
Just bring it, exclamation mark.
Bring it. Yeah, dude, that's your response. Bring it.
Oh my gosh, you imagine?
If I ever saw this in, like, the Google reviews, I'd be like, okay, I'm definitely going to this place. There's a lot happening here. There's a lot of personality here.
Oh, man. Dan, this was an awesome conversation. I think we learned so much from you. And, you know, both of us are not well, not yet, private practice owners. We're still just independent ODs or associates. But even this information we feel like is so valuable and helps us to grow as practitioners and gives us more insight into being a business owner. And this information is obviously definitely helpful for private practice owners right now. Do you have any other tips on, you know, private distribution, Google review portfolios, anything about private practice that you want to add to the end of your interview?
Yeah, just to, I guess, tie it all together, it's all connected. You know, if you go back to the, you know, why carrying it, certain products and trying to kind of set up your, I guess I would just say, as someone who's further along the journey than maybe some of your listeners, it's just realize that, you know, you're in charge here, you know, and you can set it up to be any way you want. And so, you know, have your vision, you know, get your staff in on it and then go for it. But yeah, that's all. And I just, yeah. And same to you. I appreciate the questions and the conversation. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. I think for us too, it's really good to know this information to either mentally prepare for hopefully becoming a practice owner one day, but also a lot of associates now, you know, cause specialty optometry is definitely growing. And so a lot of associates have the opportunity to bring these new products or treatment, you know, machines and technologies into established practices. And so if they use this information, you know, like how to market for it, what sort of clientele is going to come through the door if we bring this in, and how much more money we can make compared to what we're using right now. This is all great information for even associates to just keep in the back of their minds if they want to add things to a practice and negotiate things. So yeah, it's all really helpful.
Thanks. Yeah. And I would reiterate too that, you know, it's not, when you're talking about making more money, just remember that it's everybody, the patient wins too. Mm-hmm. Because when you have higher profits, again, better staff, better equipment, better experience, and then better patient care. So yeah. Everyone rises up together.
Thanks everyone for listening to Four Eyes, the podcast series brought to you by Young OD Connect. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram or YouTube at Four Eyes Optom for more content. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.